Any hoosies. So yeah, but no, yeah, you were fine on that. Like, I know you said you were a bit worried when you were on the stage.
I think I was more just worried about looking stupid. Tourette's doesn't bother me.
Well, then there you're fine.
But, you know, another comic, Francoise Gordon, who has a head injury, she has really progressed. She's doing great physically. But she would bring her cane up on stage. But it was kind of the same thing where she was like, you know, as she progressively got better, she had to have something to really make that visual for the audience that, okay, the jokes I'm doing are genuine. And, you know, for you too, I mean, I think you said some people don't believe you have Tourette's. And I don't know what that
like. It's still bad days from Tourette's. There are still days where it's very noticeable. Like a first date, Tourette's likes to really come out and play.
When's the easiest? like, what kind of time is it the easiest for you? Where it's at its...
Where Tourette's is when I, like, have no pants on and I'm watching The Bachelor and drinking wine. Tourette's seems to be really calm in those.
It takes a mini vacation when The Bachelor comes on.
Yeah.
You're like, boy, that guy's cute.
You just walk around without pants on.
I wish.
It's New York City.
I probably could.
You'd totally be okay. Most girls in the summer will, anyhow.
Most guys are walking around with barely pants. There was a guy I saw on fucking 58th and Lexington who had the shorts like almost like to here and shaved leg.
I'm like, enough. I want it.
Your balls. But come on, man.
Yeah, this guy wasn't looking for you, if you know what I mean. He's looking for the other kind of sex.
My mom was asked out on a date by the neighbor who had this like pedal boat in our backyard in the Midwest, and his testicle was hanging out.
Like in Jackass?
Just Indiana. And his like ball sack was hanging out. And my mom was like, it almost was like he positioned it right outside of his pant leg to be like, looky, looky. But like, that's nobody.
And how
well, like you've never shown cleavage.
Yeah, but no woman has ever looked at a ball sack and been like, ooh.
That's tempting.
And how long did it take your mom to say yes for that date?
I think like a few years.
Hi, Dad. Like newborn fucking mammals when they don't have fur yet. Like that's what ball sacks look like. Were you gonna comment?
I mean, please do.
Like no,
no ball sack has ever turned anybody on. Like I don't,
not
like,
not me. That's like, for sure.
What would ball sack porn be?
Teabagging.
A pendulum.
That's perfect.
Oh, gargling
like
a boss.
Grandfather guy. Clocking a ding dong.
Oh, Jesus.
How many testicles can you fit in your mouth?
I'm uncomfortable.
Well, there's only two.
And turned on.
Unless there's missing.
It doesn't have
hence
to
the
be
the thing
to pick
up your legs to keep the
orgy. Hello.
Yeah, but how?
So you don't attack the balls when you're giving a little mouth loving then?
I'm sorry.
You don't attack the balls with love?
Attack.
I mean with love and tenderness.
I don't love them either. No, you know, I understand.
You're using a pen to push them out of the way, like, nope.
No, I understand.
Move to the side.
They're very
like,
neglected.
To the right. To the right.
It's like, no, I don't talk to your ugly friend. That's what I'm going to get to. I'm going to get to the good stuff.
I'm okay. You know, you forget. I think as women, we just forget the poor balls. We just do.
And that's why we neglect the clits, right, Chris? Huh?
Chris is like, speak for yourself. I'm all about the clit.
That's just superfluous. That's not really needed.
Look at me. I'm great at ringing doorbells.
Ding dong ditch.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that's good or if I'm leaving you speechless.
Oy vey.
No.
Go ahead, please.
No, I don't know what I was going to say now. All right. Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I don't know. I really try to, like, I'm not very, like, I don't know what, guys. Like, I had an argument with a comic who said that.
Name names.
No.
He's like, no, bitch.
I'm not naming that. We already named one name. But it was a company. Well, kind of a company. Anyway, the thing was that he was like, oh, if a girl likes it rough, give it to her rough.
Frank Terranova.
No,
I'm sorry.
Not Frank. Surprise, not Frank. But it's
there was
like,
no N-word in that
decision. Yeah, true, you're right.
But it was like, I had an argument. I was like, just because she wants that doesn't mean you go ham on that. Like, you have to, like for example, like when, I always say, like, whenever there's, like, she wants, like, a hickey or something, to just, like, open mouth, kiss the neck, and then go further down. That's easier, and it doesn't leave a mark, and she kind of gets what she wants without leaving the mark, you know?
You're such a Lothario. Ooh, I never knew.
It's just like...
And he also has been sued before. I'm getting a little turned on.
Sued? I haven't been sued.
I'm kidding.
Like, what are you insinuating? Like, I didn't hear about this.
I've sued someone for hitting me with their vehicle, but I've never been sued.
Yes.
That's fair.
Give it time.
We have to... Yeah, I know. We're going to pause for 1 second. Pam's got to get out. So, Pamela Ray, where can we find you?
In New York at random shows. I don't know. I'm all over the place.
Oh, don't give me that on the press and plug. Where can we find you? Where are you putting tomorrow?
Oh, you can find me on my Twitter at...
Yes.
I have a few. for Facebook at Pamela Ray. Or Twitter. I think it's the Pamela Ray.
I think
it is.
That's
what I'm at right now with Twitter.
Any
yeah,
dates?
And my website's called Stand Up Inclusion. About my public speaking. But
would it talk about your other person that you work for? Is that part of that or no?
No.
You want to talk about that?
Oh, and I, Mayim Bialik from The Big Bang Theory has me writing a little bit for her website. So she's the shit. Probably wouldn't want this shout out right now.
I was just going to say, you sure you want to talk about it?
She's appropriate.
It's funny how you
she's
said
incredible.
From Big Bang Theory. I don't even watch Big Bang Theory.
I said Blossom.
Yeah, I said Blossom. So we're going to pause real quick, come back with Chris and Monica and myself. We'll be back in a minute. And we're back. Yay, after a, I don't know, after a pee break.
Pee break, both to urinate and to let Pam
yes.
leave.
That's right. The Pamela Ray, she's hilarious. She really is. She's also on Comics Watching Comics. Give her a looky-loo
hey.
In the upcoming episode, as Monica Vita was on Comics Watching
Comics. I'm afraid to see my episode.
Did Lindsay Tyson finally cop to watching it yet? She's like, I'm not watching it. You did great!
Well, but, you know, I've said this about comics watching comics. You know, yeah, there's a little bit of, like, kind of busting chops, but, you know, that's going to happen. But I think there's some really good, valid advice. I mean, I think if people can get past... I mean, some people don't take criticism well, but I think it's constructive criticism, at least so far what I've seen.
Right.
You know, the comics are trying to, you know, they're giving advice. They're
right.
like... This person has a good persona, sounds like they have their voice, they just need to do this more, that more. I think, you know, considering how much you pay to take a comedy class, the fact that you have, like, 3 pro comics giving you advice, not so bad. Not so bad. They're getting paid.
And now you know.
Yeah, well, that's my 2 cents.
Sweet. Where were we? Talking with Chris Crespo, of course. I'll ask the same question I asked Pam a little while ago. Did you ever have a woman come up to you and be like, hey, you're a unicorn. Let me see if I can add that to the bucket list here. And after a set, perhaps, or?
No, usually when I do get laid, it's at a bar. Maybe at like 1 or 2 in the morning.
All right.
Because I'm just a horrible piece of shit.
Why is that? What makes you a horrible piece of shit?
No, I just like to go out and drink all the time. And I'll sit there and... I actually had a woman, I was with 4 different comics. We were just going into this bar to just drink and just get hammered and call it a night. That was our plan. We weren't thinking about anything else. And this, I had this drunk woman talk to me, but she was completely wasted and she was just rambling on crap.
As they do.
And then it was like, she left. And then I basically went to the bathroom and I came back and I sat, someone took, another woman took my seat, then I sat next to her and then she punched me as hard as she could on the shoulder and then that's how she said hi to me and then I slept with her.
You sure it was in China from the WWF? Or?
No. But that shit.
So was that right?
You sure that wasn't Matt Maron after 20 drinks?
He does have pretty hair.
I mean...
But he's not that flexible.
Did she...
Becky with the good hair.
Did she refuse to wear sleeves? Is that another...
No, she just... she had a pit bull, and I love pit bull, so I'm like... That immediately was like the...
Are you in the Latin Kings?
No.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
I'm not in the Latin Kings. Okay. I'm not in any gang.
So Chris basically finds his dates on Pet Finder? I don't know.
I mean... 12 to 6 adoption time over at Petco. Dicks out.
Dog parks and where I hit it big, but
that's about yeah. That was see, yeah. It was both of us were 93. It was Speed 94. I think it was 94. Yeah,
94.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah,
Speed was 94. And what was crazy was like I remember watching that movie in theaters and just
loved
like,
it.
Oh my god, that was like the first like rated R action film that my mom was like, "You're gonna watch this movie," and then we sat there and we're like, this movie's amazing. And then we saw Speed 2, and I was like,
this is boring. I went with an ex-girlfriend to see Speed 2 because it was the only thing playing, and I had free pass. She's like, I want to go to a film. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, there's nothing out. She goes, Speed 2. I said, no. She goes, I'll blow you. I'm like, okay, fine. So she blew me in Speed 2, and that was the best part of the movie. That fucking
Jesus Christ, how hard up was she that she like would blow you for a movie?
Listen, I'm a very loving...
You just gotta up the ante.
Yeah.
You just gotta be like, okay, she went this far with the movie.
I'm an independent woman. I can pay for my own movie.
I was like, I'll love it. I'm like, fine, I'll let it go just this once. It's funny, I had another girlfriend before, the twin I was talking about before. She was so, pitching so hard, trying to go see Sex in the City, the first one.
No.
Was it first? No, no, it wasn't that. It was something else. No. It was some other bullshit.
Awful movie.
No, it was before. it was some other piece of shit thing. And she said, we have to go. Devil we have to go. Product. So what I did was, it was like 10 minutes before like we were supposed to leave, and I threw her in the bed. I started eating her out, and she would just start going nuts. And she's like, and after we're done, bang, and she goes, oh, we missed the movie. I'm like, oh, darn. Yeah, it was like some bullshit film. Like, what the fuck was this? I forgot what it was. But yeah, I was like, oh, God. No way.
I had this one really bad date where I went on, this girl wants me to watch Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton remake.
Yuck.
Oh, my God. But she wanted to see it in 3D.
Ugh, double yuck.
And then I paid for that, and I was like, fuck it. And then I sat through that. I had a migraine throughout the entire movie.
Oh,
like,
I know.
This movie's horrible, and the 3D sucks, and I just want to go home. I've never wanted to like get up and leave a movie.
It's just
I've
walked out. Let's have sex. I've
walked out of three films my entire life.
All of them M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Well, that's not a surprise. His first two were great. The last were just dog shit. One girl I used to date her when I worked at Merck, and she was like, "Let's go see Madagascar." And I love like. Pixar is the shit. I will see every Pixar film in the theater.
The Good Dinosaur was terrible.
I didn't see that was the one I didn't see. That was the one I did not see.
I mean, also they have like great cast.
Yeah,
like,
Toy Story are one of my favorites. I love that. Wally's my favorite.
That was
good. Not Toy Story 1, 2, and 3 are just amazing. Anyway, so she dragged me to go see Madagascar. And this is like our first date, and I'm like, this sucks. And she had an amazing rack. I just could not stop fucking like this movie sucks. Let's get out of here. She's like, why? What do you do? Go home to my place and hook up. I'm like, that's like a great idea. I grabbed her by the hand and got the fuck out of the theater. I'm like, this film blows. I'm like,
it's not meant for you.
I love kids' films. Like, Zootopia, I thought it was great.
Oh well, that's you know what?
Pixar shit's great. DreamWorks shit's shit.
No. Here's the thing. Like Disney. Has been able to do those things. They just had shitty management throughout those years in the early 2000s.
Right.
Where they just kept fucking up to the point that they really needed to be like, hey, our other company, Pixar, is beating us at our own game.
Right.
We need to figure out what's wrong with us. And that's what happened. Like, there's a documentary about how Disney Animation really started when it was like the golden years. And then the revitalization in the 90s with, like, The Lion King and shit like that. Like, they had moments... They remember one of their films bombed so bad that they really just sat back and they're like, we gotta rethink everything. Like, we gotta rethink our animation style, we gotta rethink our storyboards, we gotta rethink everything. And they basically cleaned house and they did it again and they focused on the stories rather than, like, the song and dances that they used to do.
Right.
And they started making... Like, really, like, so that's where some of the classes came from. And what's amazing is, like, when you read about how Disney steps up to the plate, it's before Pixar, like, Lion King was the greatest movie of all time when I was a kid.
I didn't like Lion King.
That was the bread and butter when I was a kid. That was the movie you watched, and then you had The Little Mermaid. And then you had
Beauty and the Beast.
But Lion King was beautiful, like with the scenery and stuff. I mean, you know, when you think about that was animation. Mm-hmm. I think, and I remember it going on Broadway, and I was like, how are you going to do it on Broadway? Like, are they going to have, like, you know, mascots running around? No, they did a good job, but.
I never saw it, yeah. But,
have you done a First Friday Kung Fu?
Oh my God.
Please do that.
I want to.
Please do that.
I have to go. I know there's a judo place, like, really, like, 2 blocks from my house.
Please.
I'm going to do that. But I want to do, like, I don't want to do kickboxing because that's, like, everybody expects me to do that. So I want to do something where I have to flip someone over, like judo or something.
How about pizza? How about a pizza guy?
Pizza delivery?
No, pizza guy who flips the pizzas in the air.
The thing is, like, I want to do that.
Did you do that? Did you do pizza?
It's on a list. I have a list of things that I wanted to do. Like, I have stripper, I have escort, I have...
bartender, you get to have to pull the caps off beers.
Yeah, bartender. The thing is, with bartender, every bar that I've gone to, they're like, you can't stand behind the bar. And I was like, just for a photo. And they're like, no. Every bar has told me no. And then I had felon, and cops are like, no, I don't want to take a picture of you arresting you for any way, shape, or form. And then I had... I want to do basketball player and football player. Like, just like a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey.
Hockey.
How about foosball?
The thing about those is, like...
Oh, you could be a skee-ball champion.
The thing about... the thing that started was, like, I wanted to do a series of photos of me doing jobs, mm-hmm. but jobs that I suck at. So, it's this joke of, like, I get to go and do multiple work, but I'm terrible at it. Like, I want to do skydiving instructor and just keep doing this all the time.
You could do children's party clown and you making animals balloon animals.
Or like you're the guy who like escorts people through like a construction zone where you're like kind of like waving them through, you have the fucking vest on and the hat and shit.
Yeah, I thought
air traffic controller, there's another one.
Right.
Just asleep on the council. Everybody's dead. I've had
I'm getting offended for you on your behalf.
Oh. Everyone, you know what's crazy about that is like I've had so many people have different viewpoints of that. I've had people tell me that I'm inspiring. And then I had one girl that actually told me when I was in high school that if she ever became like me, she would kill herself.
Pam was saying that before, kind of alluding that before. Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, you know what's funny is like people think like
I feel like if I ever became like you, I'd kill myself.
I was like, why? You should have started now. I mean, you're getting paid like $1.75 less than me.
That's because of the gender wage gap. That's not because of your situation.
Yeah. So, I was so mad.
Vote yes on thigh gap, and no on gender wage gap.
I actually used that that incident, but then I switched it over from the person to, like, my mom. Somebody gave me that tag about the mom. That was, like, right when I was, like, maybe my second month into doing comedy. That was, like, a trip. It's weird because when I first started doing comedy... I was like, I'm only going to do one cripple joke and then move on and talk about different things.
I was going to say, because this is not a pun, you don't want to have it as a crutch.
It's the, like, that's the thing now, is like, I'm feeling like, because I'm doing more personal stuff on stage, that my biggest fear is that I'm going to be known as just the cripple guy, you know? And I don't want to do that. And no, I've been doing...
You write really well. You've got very funny mm-hmm. comedy. How long have you been doing it?
2 years and...
Oh, really? Yeah. No, you're very strong. Yeah.
I just like... What the thing is with me is like, I like to do... When I get on stage, I like to feel like I'm just popping things out of my head. Like I did one of my favorite new bits that I've done is about me yelling at an autistic girl, but not knowing that she's autistic. So everyone... And then I give...
So it's a bit about you being a dick.
Yeah. And she was in preschool, which was...
Even better.
Even damn. More.
Yeah. What was crazy was that she was in general ed, right? And the way that happened was she was in general ed, and then she wasn't paying attention to her teacher, and I was, like, sick. Like, a dog. Like it was one of those days where I went into work sick. They knew I was sick. And I was just like, I can't, like, with this BS of what...
Yeah.
And this teacher is, like, maybe 60, early 60s, late 50s. Just, you know, she's dealing with little kids, and she's, like, just trying.
Yeah.
And I had it. I yelled at her like her father. Like, I literally yelled at her. I was like, you get in line, you listen to her, and you never say no to her. And then one of the paraprofessionals just walked over to me, and they're like, you do know that she has autism, right? I was like, I have 13 kids that aren't paying attention. Which one is autism?
Yeah.
Which one?
She's being a kid.
Yeah, she's being a kid. She's just... No.
Did she get in line?
She got in line.
Well, see...
That's what people need to do is get yelled at, goddammit.
The thing with me is, like, I'm very firm with the kids. I'm not very hard on them.
Yeah.
Like, I had a substitute teacher that I was working with in kindergarten. She was just taking, like, she gave them work, but she gave them crayon work, and I was like, anything that you give kindergarten or pre-K or first grade, anything to do with crayons, they're just going to color whatever they want. They're babies. They just color. And so the point of that is just to keep them quiet. You're not really, like, going to go hard on them if they do it wrong. She was doing it like, no, you have to color this, this color, and that, that color. I was like, there ain't...
Takes the fun right out of it.
Yeah, it's also...
Little Hitler.
They're also... They're also kindergartners, and they're still... They just got out of preschool, so you have to be very... You have to be like, we're going to do this now. But you always have to be... The thing with little kids is that you always have to know what you're going to do next. You never, ever, ever want to be like, oh, I don't know. I've had kindergarten teachers just leave no plans.
Really?
Nothing.
Good luck, asshole.
Yeah, good luck, asshole, for 8.5 hours, and I'm calling
you. I hate my job.
For $50 a day? Fuck this. We're watching a movie today, kids.
It's $100 a day. And they
don't went up.
They don't give you the password. There's so many subs now that got busted because they were watching porn on the school computer.
I mean, if I'm going to pass... Listen, it's better than fucking their students, right? So give them that much.
Yeah, but that's still...
They should be making
You know porn. What the problem is, though? If a kid did walk in and saw that, that could be...
A whole...
Yeah, that could be a whole wax. Big legal system that you don't want to get involved.
And the kid goes, oh, I was in that scene? Wait 5 more minutes.
I've seen that one. Daddy watches it all the time.
I remember the worst day...
Mommy, is that you on the TV screen?
Is that our neighbor?
No, I had the worst day that I've ever had at work was in middle school, and I had this one kid bring a toy gun to school, and he had it painted black and brown, and it was a Glock. It looked like a Glock, and he lit it. The thing was, it was like a day after the Seattle school shooting a few years ago.
No, for Christ's sakes, so timing is everything.
Yeah, it was like this can't get any worse. And the way how I found out was, like, his buddies were all around him, like, giggling in the book bag. I peeked inside the book bag, and I saw that. I immediately grabbed it. And I held that toy gun, and I realized it was fake. But there was some part of me that wished it was real, so I just pop his little fucking head out.
There's another one for you. Firing range instructor.
I have pictures of me at a gun range, and I can't find them. I have one of me trying to get on a horse, and I'm...
That's a fucking trip.
I'm going through TSA photo albums. Agent. Do you understand? I am going through photo
doing
albums.
Pat downs. Yes.
I'm literally going through photo albums for that photo of me trying to get on a horse. I'm like, I need that photo. That photo's mine.
That's fucking. That'd be
rodeo.
Good.
Rodeo.
What?
Yeah, rodeo.
I was gonna say first day Friday cowboy, but rodeo would be good.
Well, or cowboy. That's good.
Oh my god. I searched my Instagram because my Instagram is the oldest social media account that I have.
And how old do we feel right now?
And I literally can't... I don't know if I deleted it or if it... I couldn't find the picture of me on a horse. Even the picture of me already on the horse, that's gone. And I was like, damn it. I need those two pictures.
Do you find yourself on stage sometimes? Do audience heckle you? I should ask that first. Do you get heckled a lot at all, or I should say, or...
Really, I don't get heckled. What I usually treat heckling like this. I always assume people are nice, that maybe it's the drink water, like the waitress couldn't hear... You know, that kind of thing. I never go after an audience member. Like, I did a show where literally the audiences were having a conversation on the side of a bar.
Mm.
And I was headlining. And I just ignored that. I just kept going with my set. I'm terrible at crowd work because I really don't want to... I have this thing of, like, you're only here for, like, the day. So it's almost like substitute teaching in a weird way. I'm going to have a new audience when I go into another show.
Yeah.
So, for me, spending time trying to get to know this person and that person is...
That's more of a host job anyway.
Yeah, that is a host job.
But it helps. So, I mean, I like to mix in crowd work no matter where I am in the lineup. I'll play around because I don't know.
I just don't like people.
That's fair. You're in the right business for that. Teacher by day, comic by night.
One thing is when I... What's funny, if you've been at the show the whole time, you'll have a comic who, you know, is coming from another show, and, you know, for the fifth time,
where
the
you guys from?
Up front gets asked, like, you guys together, or you want to, you know, and it's, that to me, I'm like, you know, just do
the last
jokes.
Yeah, the last time, what was the last time I attempted to do crowd work? It was such a disaster. I didn't even bother. Because I'm always... I ask a question, but then I don't have a follow-up to it, so then I look like an idiot. So I'm just like, yes. I'm like, oh, okay. And I just go over to something else.
No, I just wanted to know. I'm not. Yeah. There's no follow up. I just wanted to know for my own edification.
And they're like, they're waiting for a joke or like a, like I can't, like I don't have it. And I, in a weird way, like I really am. Like I have this mentality when I'm on stage. It's like it's my time.
Yeah.
It's my stage time. It's my microphone. You're here for me. I'm here for you. Let's do this.
Yeah.
You
know? But we're doing it my way.
Yeah. Right. I'm the captain.
But you're the audience.
I am the captain.
You're the audience.
Yeah. I'm the captain now.
Do you feel like audiences sometimes are uncomfortable with you? Or
oof. I've had a joke that made people extremely uncomfortable. I did a joke where I was like, I can do sign language. And then I just started putting my hands together and mashing them around. And the stares that I got from my end were so fun. Like, I would break concentration because I was just laughing at the audience's uncomfortability.
God damn, people. Loosen up.
They didn't know. They thought, oh my God. It's a
disability. They thought you were being sincere.
It's like a cripple making fun of another disability all in one shot, and they didn't know how to react. Like, their brain just exploded. It was like, holy shit.
Be like, assholes, if anyone has a free pass to do this, it's fucking me, all right? So loosen your assholes up and laugh, because it's fucking funny.
I feel like people really don't understand that. I just posted something recently about Louis C.K., and he was being interviewed, and he was just talking about, like, you have to laugh. Like, the worse things are, the more you should be laughing about them. Right. That's how we cope as human beings, and it's okay. It's all right to laugh at that stuff, you know?
Fake outrage police are out in full force.
I know. Well, and I mean, he made some point, and I hope I don't screw it up and not do it justice, but he's like, you know, that's like saying, this disease is terrible. Let's not cure it, you know? Or let's not address it in any way. And it's the same thing. I mean, yeah, tragedy is terrible, but if you go to a comedy club after 9/11, you know, I think good comics will do jokes where you'll laugh and really, and I think a lot of comics, you know, they don't do those type of jokes because they're thoughtless pieces of shit. They do them because probably for themselves it's a coping mechanism, and that they're hoping, you know, to make you laugh so you can feel better, you know?
Yeah, one of the things I kind of have a problem with is when I saw a lot of, like, when I first was trying to get into stand-up, I would watch some disabled comics to see what their styles were doing it, and they always had an upbeat kind of like, it's okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And no one to see a sad sack on stage.
Yeah, and for me it was like, I can't do that. Like, for me it's like, I just,
you're
I
real
can't.
About it.
I'm very like, I'm almost upfront about it. Like, it's, this is not, there's no joy, there's no hope at the end of this tunnel. This is what it is. And
you're not inspirational.
No. I had moments where I was like, I want to, like, there's some things I just want to talk about that are just so, like, I don't, that's the thing is, like, I don't want to, like, I don't want to be just known as the cripple guy that's, like, happy and makes everybody feel good at the end of the day, because that, to me, is a lie.
Right.
Because, like, they don't want to talk about how it's, like, I had jokes about, like, trying to look for a job, and then going into the office, and they're like, oh, yeah, have a seat, and I already know from the guy's face this is not going to pan out well. And I've had, you know, you can't just gloss over that with it, but it's okay. It's not okay. It's not. Because you have all these things. Like, I had a joke when I first, in my first year, where I talked about Disability Awareness Month in October, where companies were trying to post out videos like, hey, honor your disabled employees. I was like, hey, there's one way you can honor them, by hiring them.
Yeah.
Because there's
not. Or just treat them as a regular, as an equal.
Yeah, like, I've had moments where, like, this is why I went into teaching, was, like, I tried the public sector for ages, like, months and months and months, just trying to find jobs in regular, like companies and stuff, and it was like, oh, you're here. Yeah, just have a seat, and then I'd have this little interview back and forth, less than an hour, and then I'd be gone. The minute I knew it was less than an hour, I was like, I don't have a shot. If it was an hour and a half, I was like, maybe. And it was just like, that was the thing. And then when I went into substitute teaching, I was like, well, this is different. This is a public sector. This is government run. This isn't like a business trying to make ends meet. So that's how I got into it. But it was like, for me, it was like that. I can just imagine somebody who's even worse, who's in a wheelchair and has to, like, they have to do all this stuff. They're not going to do that. The company's not going to do that.
Well, you know, I have a friend who has, well, I have several friends, but I have one friend in particular. Well, no, I'm saying I have several friends who have, you know, debilitating illnesses like autoimmune and things like that, where, you know, in those instances, what you're dealing with is something where you can't physically see what's, you know, I mean, I don't know if you call it a disability or not, but
technically,
yeah, I mean, for
but
some
not,
it is,
but not in the normal
well,
sense.
No, for some it is, like, it really is because they're in so much pain, but anyhow. The point being, like, they really struggle because there, then it really is this mentality of, well, you're just probably lazy, you don't want to do work, we can't see your physical disability, we can't see your physical pain. So when you're like, I need to work from home today, you know, like, people don't, and she did a documentary on it, actually, but yeah, it's just, you know, this whole... We there's almost like this thing in larger companies, public companies, and probably in the public sector, where it's like, well, no, that looks good. You know, it looks good to have somebody sitting in a wheelchair because then that says, like,
we include
look
everyone.
At us, you know, look at us.
It's also beyond pandering because they don't really give them... Sometimes they don't even give them the positions that they're qualified for. They give them, like, a letter.
Hi, you're a greeter from now on.
Oh, God. I had a... I applied
what
for
did
that.
You study?
I studied film. I studied... like.
Oh, okay.
So did I. Look where it got us.
Yeah.
Comedy doing podcasts.
I still live at home with my mother. I don't have my own place yet.
How old are you, if I may ask you?
27.
All right.
God, this is so bad.
Dude, milk that. I'm always jealous if I didn't, like...